Obviously, that's really important when you're sitting across like a bird in a chair. It's just a comfortable attitude. Tonight is the full moon, and so this is a variation on the full moon metta service. Just a bit. We're going to do the service, but I wanted to introduce it by talking about the service that came before this, which is the Sajiki or Sagaki retreat and ceremony was last week. And that is it's known as the Gate of Sweet Nectar or the Celebration of the Hungry Ghost, the Festival of the Hungry Ghosts. And what that refers to is the hungry ghost realm, that aspect of all of us and beyond that is insatiable and always looking outside of ourselves and outside of our current circumstances for something, who knows what, in the future that's going to satisfy and end the constant push for more. So at the Sajiki ceremony, formerly known as the Sagaki ceremony, gakis are hungry ghost figures in Japanese lore, we make an altar separate from the Buddha altar. It's the Sagaki altar, and it has hands outspread, and it's covered with Jizo statues and candy, sweets of all kinds. Because it is really expressing, among other things, beside offering us all candy to eat at the end of the ceremony, which is always nice, that the Dharma offers to each of us what we need. And sometimes people are not ready to hear the Dharma teachings, but they are ready to feel the kindness that we can offer them, or the sensitivity, or just the fact that we listen, we notice. It's an acknowledgement of that way that we all hopefully will function more and more as we make the Dharma teachings our own and we recognize the Bodhisattva way as our own way, rather than the way of the Gakis. Rather than constantly seeking for more for ourselves, we are letting go of that concern. We have what we need, we have enough. And what we are most seeking is that which we already have but are not realizing. And one of the ways that we enjoy who we already are, is by serving others. Because in order to do that, we need to be free. Free to do that. Have a warm heart. So tonight, the full moon metta ceremony service is one of the many tools in the Bodhisattva toolkit for warming our hearts, opening our hearts, opening our hands, and making offerings to whoever needs it. Including our own self. It's a time to heal our own critical voices against ourselves and against others, and all of the ways that we separate from our experience and from others, and how we make of others other. So it's really rather a purification ceremony. It purifies all of the habits that we have of withholding and judging. So this is the full moon. This is the hunter moon. The hunter moon, and also the dry grass moon. I found that on Google today. It's also called the dry grass moon, which is really, for us, is probably more applicable than the hunter moon. And tonight, unfortunately, it's cloud covered. But it's still
maybe it'll pop up.
It's time to celebrate it. We might say, well, why couple the full moon with metta practice? Now, for those of you who don't know metta, metta is loving kindness practice. Why do we put those two together? And there are two reasons for this, kind of, if you need a reason. One is the Buddha was born on the full moon, and so it's an acknowledgement of the light of the Dharma. And then at the full moon, the energies are particularly potent. If you've ever worked in social services, you know that the full moon is when all of the restless spirits howl, show up in emergency rooms and mental health clinics and the jail and on the streets. So it's just a wonderful time to renew our vows to awaken, and our vows to live according to the precepts. So we'll be going through all of those in this ceremony, and a number of you have done the ceremony before, you know it well. So you can enjoy the familiarity. So a full moon casts its gentle light on all available surfaces. And with the practice of metta, we bring our own light of love to all available surfaces, and kindness to ourselves and to all creatures, great and small, including ourselves. That means bringing our loving kindness to all of our own moods and energies, everything that lives through us. Loving kindness practice is transformative. It changes the energy in our hearts. And you'll be able to, as we go through the ceremony, it's palpable. Just bringing to mind loving kindness immediately releases loving kindness in our, it infuses our system. And cures us of the me and mind fixation, if only briefly. Searching outside of ourselves for the cure. When we practice with loving kindness, we are immediately cured. We have a sense of our completeness. We let go of the concern about being complete or incomplete. We just are as we are, at ease. And we begin the practice with ourselves. And it's a way to nourish and sustain our caring. With even the most difficult and painful circumstances, the first noble truth of the Buddha is the truth of difficulties. We have difficulties, not because there's anything wrong with us or there's anything missing, but because it's the way of it. There's always difficulties when we are alive. So with metta, our hearts and minds grow boundless as the light of the moon. In Dogen's Genjo Koan, which we sometimes chant, he says, the light of the moon is reflected even in a puddle an inch across, or a dewdrop an inch across. If ever you've had that experience of being in a meadow at night or in the early morning and the moon is up, you can see the moon, the full moon, in a little dewdrop. And no matter what our capacity, we still are beings of loving kindness. You can tap that. No matter how ordinary the moment is, we can offer loving kindness. And any moment, any circumstance is benefited by bringing a warm heart and an open mind to it. As well as any time, any matter, any way when we find ourselves confused or tormented, you can bring loving kindness. Or if you are with someone who is confused and tormented, there may be nothing to do but bring up loving kindness in your own heart. be beneficial. It has a softness to it, it has a lightness to it, and eases and clears the way. The next line in the Genjo Koan is, the heavenly moon is bright or dim. So a bright moon, a full moon that's unobstructed by clouds, brings sharp outlines out in this moment, enabling us to see what's going on. After the Sajiki ceremony, it was held at Sato's farm, so it's way out in the field, and you have to walk through uneven ground for a ways to get to the road. But the moon was really, really bright, so it was very possible to make our way. We could see what was going on, just enough. And when we can see what's going on, then we can respond in the best way. But sometimes the light of the moon is dim, and what we need to do then is to slow down. To slow down and proceed really carefully, just one step at a time. And that's true in our lives. Sometimes we really don't know. We don't know what to do. How to get through this moment. So we slow down, we breathe, we relax, and we just take one step at a time. So metta practice reminds us all how to do this, to be present and caring, and to remember our commitments to the precepts, remembering to connect, remembering to use our wisdom, the wisdom of the present moment. Sometimes the wisdom of not knowing is potent, and the only thing we've got, the best way. So please enjoy the ceremony. And we begin with three bows. So if everybody will rise. We're kind of packed in here, so you can either do a full bow if you have room, or do a standing bow, it's fine. Please be seated. Bowing in Buddhist practice has a lot of different. We have a lot of different experiences in relation to it. And one is, if we've been sitting a long time and our backs hurt, it feels really good to bow, stretch them out. But it's also, if we have tremendous remorse or regret, one of the practices given by Zen teachers is to do a number of bows in acknowledgement that you have been unskillful and you are willing to be corrected, learn a better way to do things. And then the bows are surrendering our lives to the larger life that we are part of. So please join me now. We're going to be chanting the Chantic of Atonement. Considering any mistakes that we've made in the past, careless actions taken or harmful words uttered in anger. Most of us have something that comes to mind when we think of what we need to atone for. And in this, we're setting an intention that from this time forward, we're going to live an ethical life. We include in our intention a vow to forgive past actions of our own and release all that you no longer wish to carry around with you, all of the regrets and the self-recriminations. By atoning in this way, we forgive ourselves and commit to practice wholesome ways of being in the world, to open our hearts to ourselves and to others. When you think about it, you know, self-compassion is kind of a buzzword right now, but if we learn to have compassion for ourselves, we are in a great position to have compassion for others. If we maintain certain carved off places of self-criticism, then anytime somebody else reminds us of it, that's going to be there toward them. So self-compassion is very practical, and it's the heart of kindness for ourselves. We don't create harmful actions out of intention. And that it's usually, we call this, in the chant of atonement, we say, in one of the translations, it's all my endless twisted karma. So unskillful actions go back to our own and our ancestors and our tribes. I mean, a lot of our unskill really traces way, way, way back, and we've inherited it without being able to recognize it. So that's the twisted part of what we all have, a little twisted place there. Hate to say it, but it's often true. So let's chant the Gatha of Atonement, page 6. This is a short acknowledgement of our intention. Gatha of Atonement. We will be affirming the intention to live in an ethical way in relation to our Mother Earth. Repeat after me. I vow not to kill, but rather to take action to encourage the continuity of all life. I vow not to indulge selfish desires, but rather to live simply and appreciate life on our planet.
I vow not to indulge selfish desires, but rather to live simply and appreciate life on our planet.
I vow not to abuse my intimate relationship with the Earth and all beings, but rather to care for and cultivate our kinship.
I vow not to abuse my intimate relationship with the Earth and all beings, but rather to care for and cultivate our kinship.
I vow not to spread lies, but rather to learn about and speak honestly about the environmental crises affecting all life.
I vow not to spread lies, but rather to learn about and speak honestly about the environmental crises affecting all life.
I vow not to engage in practices that lead to confusion for myself or others, but rather to maintain awareness and cultivate wholesome action.
I vow not to engage in practices that lead to confusion for myself or others, but rather to maintain awareness and cultivate wholesome action.
So our Earth is our home. We are part of the complexities and the magnificence of all of life. We take up these five vows in awareness of our interdependence with all beings. And now we will repeat after me again the first of the standard five, first five precepts. I vow not to kill, but to cherish all life.
I vow not to kill, but to cherish all life.
I vow not to take what is not given.
I vow not to take what is not given.
I vow not to misuse sexuality, but to be conscious and loving in my relationships.
I vow not to misuse sexuality, but to be conscious and loving in my relationships.
I vow to speak truthfully.
I vow to speak truthfully.
I vow to refrain from intoxicants and to exercise care of body and mind.
I vow to refrain from intoxicants and to exercise care of body and mind.
Please take a moment to reflect and affirm your intention to live according to these precepts. Part of what we begin to get very clear about is that it's not possible unless we have kind of taken charge of our own behavior and our choices and become wholesome in the way we behave in the world. It's not possible to meditate, to be at ease. So these are very, very practical reminders, directions to turn. They're not absolutes. They're in many ways, they're very complex. So we study them as part of our practice. When practicing metta, we begin with ourselves and move our intention outward. Offering metta to the world begins with a gift of loving kindness for ourselves. When we first infuse ourselves with compassion and loving kindness, then quite naturally we turn to share loving kindness and goodwill with others. If you have trouble calling up the feeling of loving kindness, then it's helpful to remember what it felt like when someone was kind to you. So now we're going to repeat after me the phrases, the loving kindness phrases. May I be free from fear and anxiety.
May I be free from fear and anxiety.
May I be comfortable in my own skin.
May I be comfortable in my own skin.
May I have mental well-being.
May I have mental well-being.
May I be at ease.
May I be at ease.
And may I be happy.
And may I be happy.
Now rest in loving kindness and compassion for yourself that is right here and right now. Now think of a benefactor or somebody that you love. Picture them in front of you, looking at you, looking at them, them looking at you, and repeating the phrases, may you be free from fear and anxiety.
May you be free from fear and anxiety.
May you be comfortable in your own skin.
May you be comfortable in your own skin.
May you have mental well-being.
May you have mental well-being.
May you be at ease.
May you be at ease.
May you be happy.
May you be happy.
Sending loving kindness and compassion to them right now, wherever they are. Next, bring to mind a difficult person in your life or a difficult aspect of yourself that you struggle with. And repeat the phrases. So you see them in front of you, right? You're looking at each other. May you be free from fear and anxiety.
May you be free from fear and anxiety.
May you be comfortable in your own skin.
May you be comfortable in your own skin.
May you have mental well-being.
May you have mental well-being.
May you be at ease.
May you be at ease.
May you be happy.
May you be happy.
And extending metta further, may all beings here and in the 10 directions be free from fear and anxiety.
May all beings here and in the 10 directions be free from fear and anxiety.
May they have physical well-being.
May they have physical well-being.
May they have mental well-being.
May they have mental well-being.
May they be at ease.
May they be at ease.
May all beings here and in the 10 directions be happy.
May all beings here and in the 10 directions be happy.
And so, recollecting now that the 10 directions are north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, above and below. All around the globe tonight, let's extend metta to all beings.
in all circumstances. May metta and feelings of loving kindness radiate outward and unbounded. So now let's chant the Metta Sutra together, which will be found on page 46 of the chant books.
Clarity of vision. man's desires is not born again into this world.
Please rise for three bows. Be seated. So tonight, since we've already chanted the Metta Sutra, we'll chant the chant the boundless compassion, or the Heart Sutra, and then the chant the boundless compassion.
We have songs we can work together.
Yes.
Turn to page 8 of your book. Heart of Great Perfect Wisdom Sutra. Existing right here now. reciting the Heart of Great Perfect Wisdom Sutra, we dedicate its merits to the great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, to the ancestors in our lineage who have transmitted the light of the Dharma to this place and time, including the first ancestor in India, great teacher Mahakasyapa, the first ancestor in China, great teacher Bodhidharma, the first ancestor in Japan, great teacher Eihei Dogen, the first ancestor in America, great teacher Koen Taizan, to all enlightened women, to all those who have taught and manifested the truth, may their vows be fully realized, and may we accomplish the enlightened way together. Page 28. Penetrating everywhere. Whenever these devoted invocations are sent forth, they are perceived and subtly answered. We humbly request the guidance of the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. In chanting the chant of boundless compassion, we offer the merits to all living teachers of the Dharma, including His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Shoto Harada Roshi, Thich Nhat Hanh, Ajahn Sumedho, Pema Chodron, Joan Henrik Roshi, Jan Chosen Bays Roshi, and Hogan Bays Roshi. May their vows be fully realized. We offer our blessings to those who are ill or in distress, including. And now we'll go around the room, beginning with Mushin, and then starting with Rika, and working our way around. And please mention anyone you have concerns for. If you have no one to mention, just give a brief bow.
Enoch Terris, Eric Muller, Tom Kim, Dave Heck, Luma Littman, Carol Lee.
Carolyn, Phyllis, Alex.
Joan, Aaron, and Jeff.
Marianne Kazars, Allison Kelby, Karen Schlomer, and
Jim Borland, Chuck McLaughlin, Seth Raleigh,
Sandy,
Mike and Carol Sessa, Bob Marshall, Tan Kim,
Kristen, Steve, and Camden and John Cairns.
Keith Martin,
Shiloh Catherine and Marcia Olson,
Adrian, Nathan, Julia, and Terry Crossley,
Patricia Gomez and Lee Bauman,
David Dunham, Mark Everard, Stephanie Chen, Cheryl Sperry,
Molly,
Susan and James, Christy Brown, Nancy Crussell, Kathy and Jeff, Billy Martin, Logan Albin, Don and All, Mary, Liz, the family of Linda Blair, and to all those who are ill or in distress, including refugees the world over, those suffering from the loss of their homes and livelihood due to natural disaster or economic upheavals, the loss of their health due to environmental pollution, and all those without a voice, may they be freed from suffering. We pray that those who help to guide our city, county, state, and nation will be endowed with clear wisdom and compassion. May our countries be led with clarity and kindness. We also offer our blessings to those in the transition of death, including, and we'll go around as before,
Alan Ward,
Ron Schiffman,
Dorothy Elizio,
Milton Ray, Dan Bongiovanni, Linda Blair, and to those killed by gun violence, all those killed by police, and all police killed in the line of duty, all those who have died in man-made and natural disasters,